Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. College football playoff coming up later today, and a wild one last night here in Nashville between Tennessee and Purdue. And to help us talk about all that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on? How are we doing?
Not much, guys. I'm doing well. I'd like to think that all of our forward progress in life continue to move forward. So you guys having me on.
We appreciate you coming on with us. We'll see if we can keep the forward progress moving today. So let's just start right there. What did you make of the ending of what was a wild game between Purdue and Tennessee, and that call specifically at the end with Jalen Wright churning his legs, trying to get in the end zone, and the officials ultimately ruling that his forward progress had been stopped?
Yeah, I think it's, from what I understand, again, I'm not an official. From what I understand, it's pretty simple in that, you know, that's a judgment call, and it's not really reviewable, I guess. So, you know, it's a quick whistle. That's sort of the only thing. I think, you know, you usually use that if they're in danger or the play is pretty much over. And that was a pretty quick whistle. I think that's the main thing I took away. And, you know, especially considering the end of that play. And, you know, his forward progress was stopped for about a second. But on that play, that's not that long, especially when, you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen on that. But I feel bad for the players because, you know, you don't want to see an official decide the game. It sort of looks like they had a pretty acute influence on it yesterday.
Well, David, I'm sure, you know, I think you've heard me rant and rave about this before, but I did use this as another opportunity to decry the officiating situation in college athletics. I just know that there's plenty of money for us to stop paying like $1,500 for an official to go officiate a Power 5 basketball game and then drive 300 miles and do another one the next night, and then drive 180 miles and do another one the next night, and think that we're going to have quality officiating with freelancers with stakes so high, with money so high, with this job so difficult. Tell me why we can't figure this out.
There's a good reason. I think there's always going to be human error. The NFL does things a little bit differently. And we all remember, I guess it was Rams Saints 3 years ago, that had a pretty rough call, and they changed the rule to try and fix it. Doesn't seem game moment. I mean, I agree with you. I think playing is bad. I think, you know, having, you know, the way that it's all set up where, you know, guys are officiating a ton of games. I mean, I don't think you really hear in the same way the same kind of complaints at the NFL level. I think that's you just don't hear that kind of stuff. But meanwhile, in college, everywhere else, every conference thinks that their officials are the worst officials in the world, and that's not a good thing to have. And I think you hit on to something that everything that you touched on, you know, freelancing and too many games and guys jumping around, and it's not great, and the pay is not great, and it's a thankless job.
I think we're having some phone issues with David, but we're going to try to get reconnected with him as we get set talking about the Music City Bowl here. We'll see if we can get David back on the line with us here and get a better connection established. But yeah, Joe, to your point, it's one of those things with the game last night where I just, if you're college football, you've got to take a look around and say, we've got to fix this officiating problem. Because look, it's not just the Music City Bowl. This has been something that you've been talking about for a long time here with officials in college athletics.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to spend my entire day screaming back and forth with Purdue fans my column comments, which is always fun. And maybe a little bit on Twitter too. It's not never going to remedy, like you're never going to have perfection. And yes, a lot of people have made the point, well, how good are NFL refs? Don't we complain about NFL refs all the time? And I would say, yeah. And in fact, there are some crews in the NFL that we know are just not very good.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's going to make things perfect. It'll never be perfect, but I think you have to, invest more to raise the quality. If college coaches are setting the market for salaries, which they are now, college football coaches are setting the market. The NFL coach is like, man, I wish I could get paid that much. And you talk about whatever you want to talk about, you know, viewership and attendance and all the money flowing. There's no reason that college football officiating should be compensated any less than NFL officiating. And I think you will increase the quality if you invest in it.
I think we've got David Ubbin back on the line with us. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome David back in. So, David, aside from the officiating, what were your takeaways from Tennessee, both in the game last night and what you think they have coming back in 2022 in Josh Heupel's second year?
Yeah, I mean, the offense didn't play very well, which is kind of amazing because they had, 45 points on the board? They could have had maybe 60. You know, Hendon Hooker, that was probably a C-minus performance from him. He's looked a lot better. But, you know, you just look at what they have back. I mean, Tillman's obviously the biggest piece there. We'll see on Cade Mays. That sounds like I think he's probably gone, but we'll see. And then, of course, Hendon Hooker. You got four offensive linemen. You know, Jabari Smalls coming back, Jalen Wright, all those guys. So you got to feel really good about where you're at. And the sort of year two in the system, you can see some jumps there. And the optimism has to be there, which hadn't been there in Tennessee. And it's amazing just the tenor of these two off seasons. It's going to feel, you know, last season, I think for Tennessee fans, the off season felt endless. And I think it'll feel endless this year too, but for all kinds of different reasons.
Yeah, no, I agree. And defensively, David, obviously not a great day yesterday. Now Purdue is very good. Aiden O'Connell is very good. He was missing his top two receivers. It didn't matter. There's some incredibly bad tackling. They miss Alante Taylor. They're going to miss Theo Jackson a ton. And some of those old guys up front who really mattered this year. But how much better do you think they could possibly be defensively next year? Is it possible for them to get to a point of competence that would give them a chance against the top SEC teams they'd still probably be having to win in shootouts, but give them a chance?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can be okay up front a little bit. I think you kind of saw on display yesterday, you need your corners to grow up a little bit. You know, they're going to be replacing a lot of safety as well. So, it's tough to know. The personnel would suggest that they can get a lot better, but we'll see. I think it all just sort of depends. Keeping Tim Banks is good. I think it wouldn't shock me if he got some calls. So I think you got to prioritize that. So, you know, I don't know that they can probably make the same kind of jump that the offense might be able to make, because you look at, you know, everybody wants to focus on the points, but when you look at yards per play and efficiency, you know, this offense wasn't really sort of top tier. So there's a lot of improvement that can happen there. Obviously, there's a lot of improvement that can happen defensively, but, I think in a lot of ways it comes down to personnel and offensively, I think they can make a lot more jump than defensively, but we'll see. It's really tough to tell, you know, this early.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, David, switching gears to the college football playoff, how much do you think is on the line today for Kirby Smart in this game? Not in terms of, his job security or anything like that, but just the narrative around him and that Georgia program of being able to win the big games. How much is on the line as they begin today, begin play today in the college football playoff against Michigan?
I mean, on that front, you know, I think people think this is a big game until you win it, and the next one's a big game. And it's, so if you win this one and you lose the next one, it won't do anything to change the idea that you can't win the big one, you know? I guess kind of the way the Alabama game went, it almost takes some of the pressure off, maybe. Because if you're Georgia and you come into this after beating Alabama, it's almost unthinkable that Georgia could lose. You know, if you lose, the world's probably, you know, stopping, spinning on its axis. But now you kind of have a lot of questions, and I think they should win today, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. I think that's true for me in both semifinals. I think both of these games could go a number of different ways. And so, you know, as far as the narrative goes and all that stuff, like, I don't know. I get the frustration, but, you know, I don't know, besides being frustrated, what there is to do, because Georgia as a program is doing everything that you should do. They have really good offensive schematics. The recruiting is pretty obvious on both sides of the ball. And if you just keep doing those things, you're going to get a bunch of bites at the apple, and they're here again. I think especially when you think about the playoff expanding, you're going to be in the playoff a lot more years than you're not, and especially that would have been true, I think, with a 4-team playoff. And with a 12, I mean, they're going to be in there almost every year now, and you're going to get a lot of shots at it. And just eventually you'll break through, and if they don't win it this year, I'm sure Georgia fans don't want to hear it, but it's just like, well, better luck next year. Like, legitimately, I don't know what else there is to do. I don't see a real fatal flaw. I think you need to find that game changer at quarterback, which they have not really done yet, and that can really help you and can change a lot. Find that big-time guy, and that's if they don't win it this year, they don't take care of business, you know, next year, I think that's going to be the thing that puts them over the top, that they haven't done, because we've just seen that's how you win in college football, and Georgia is trying to win it a different way.
Of course, they had that big time guy, and he was playing for Ohio State last year. But yeah, I mean, I think that's if they right. But I think that's the obvious thing. If they end up not winning it, and I think they're going to win it. By the way, I think they're going to win today. I think they're going to beat Alabama in the final. But that'll probably be, and maybe that's a little bit of a an out for Kirby. Like, okay, he just needs to like get and keep the QB, and then everything else is in place. But David, today I think what we're going to see. I believe we're going to see more of what we saw a year from these teams. So I think Cincinnati's going to make this a fourth quarter game. I think their offense is going to have a lot of success. And I think that Georgia's defense not facing a future top five quarterback with future first round receivers is going to look like Georgia's dominant defense again. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, on the front of Alabama there, I think people have convinced themselves that, you know, Alabama's sort of back. I think people are overrating Alabama based on one game, because if Alabama plays like they did against Georgia, yeah, I think they're going to blow Cincinnati's doors off. We literally have seen that Alabama team one time this whole season, maybe somewhat against Miami. I think you're probably going to see something closer to the Alabama team that we saw the rest of the season. You are who you are. We've seen this Alabama team a lot more. I think they played a near perfect game against Georgia. Georgia's defensive scheme, I was not really impressed with either. I think Cincinnati can keep this close and win, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens there, because this Cincinnati team, I think, can get a shot there at the end.
David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Does a great job covering college football for The Athletic. David, appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you enjoy the games today, and hope you have a happy new year as well, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. David Ubbin from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what David had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on the college football playoff and the Music City Bowl as well. Yesterday, Tennessee, a tough loss to Purdue in overtime. All of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're starting with what?
Cream-filled cookies here.
You first.
Take a dip. It's a really interesting blend of flavors. Thumbs up for me.
Oh, what a time in the Duke's Mayo Bowl yesterday. That was Mike Golic Jr. trying an assortment of things with mayo on top. You had Shane Beamer, the winning coach, get a tub of mayo dropped on his head, which, by the way, when I say dropped on his head, I mean literally dropped on his head. They took the Gatorade bath and filled it up with mayonnaise, and the two women who were dropping it on his head literally hit him in the top of the head with it. So not only did you have, you know, mayonnaise dripping down all over your body, Shane Beamer got a nice concussion to go along with it. Nice 1-2 combo there for Shane Beamer.
I'd feel bad for him, but in the future, the winning coach of that game needs to not be allowed to wear a hat. You're gonna take a mayo bath. Get that stuff all in the salad, okay? Get that stuff all rubbed into the scalp. That's only fair. Also, the audio Michelle played there, I'd advise you to watch the video unless you really are disgusted by mayonnaise. He dips an Oreo, I think it's an Oreo, right, in mayonnaise, and eats it.
They also did – do you remember those little peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that you could get in the bags, the Smucker's sandwiches or whatever that are frozen? Yep.
The Uncrustables.
The Uncrustables, whatever, yes. They all dipped them in mayonnaise too, and they – like him and then his partner and then the sideline reporter, and they all ate it. I could never. That's I think disgusting. I would vomit. That was so gross.
I'm in favor of mayo. I love Duke's mayo, and you know, in some instances, hey, make deviled eggs, got to have a lot of mayo. There's a lot of things you make with mayo. A nice club sandwich with bacon and turkey with some mayo on it, great. Dude, watching anyone even put like a spoonful of mayo in their mouth makes me go total gag reflex. Ugh. Ugh.
That's what I was saying. Like, I'm with it. Like, I'm not saying that I like actively seek out mayonnaise at any time, but I don't mind it. It's fine. I'll eat stuff with mayonnaise on it. After watching the Duke's Mayo Bowl yesterday, I really just want no part of it moving forward. I think it may have just killed mayonnaise for me.
You know how people do like dry Januaries? You know, they don't drink in January. Like, I think I need a dry mayo January.
Why don't you
maybe all of 2022?
Why don't you try dry no drinking January, Joe?
Well, that's fine. Maybe I need to do a dry and a no mayo January. Imagine how healthy I'll be in February.
You will
be. And not grossed out.
Be looking really good. That was quite the game. You know, I don't know that it's quite Cheez-It Bowl territory for me after yesterday, but between the Mayo Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl, really some good stuff in college football so far.
Yeah, those are, the Cheez-Its, they definitely that's good. That's good marketing right there, man. Just shower people in Cheez-Its, you know?
Yeah.
So I'd say maybe there's other food companies out there that are looking at this as a sponsorship opportunity. I mean, I think Reese's Pieces are pretty overrated, but that could be a good one, right? Shower people in your Reese's Pieces or your M&Ms.
Maybe so.
Gummy bears. I mean, a lot of stuff that also wouldn't make you nauseous when it hits your top of your head.
Corned beef hash.
Some a Hormel bowl. And then the corned beef hash is dumped. I mean, you'd have to like let it cool off a little bit because you're going to burn someone's really scalp. If you have it like I like it, which is really cooked and really crusty and burned, but really hot, that would probably harm someone.
Joe, we've talked about the goal line stand for Purdue and the forward progress call a lot here today on the show. Outside of that call, what did you take away from the game yesterday from Tennessee's perspective? both specifically to the game yesterday and what it means for them as they move forward next year into 2022?
Well, I would disagree a little bit with Ubben on Hooker as a C minus, because I thought Hooker was an A in the fourth quarter when it matters most. I mean, you think of some of the throws he made, the touchdown to Hyatt, the big play to Fant. Now, granted, you could also knock him for choosing to throw deep.
Not only choosing to throw deep, but Tillman was open by about four steps and he missed
it. And then overthrowing. Now, was Tillman the one who got grabbed? One of them got jersey
Tillman got grabbed.
So, you know, maybe, I mean, how much difference? If that doesn't happen, is that an on-target throw or is it just overthrown by a little less? I don't know. But I thought, still, Hendon Hooker, I thought he had an F second quarter. You know, he missed some throws that you're just stunned. And again, that offense is going to go back through the film. And if you just had an overall grade of the offense, I bet you that's not one of the highest grades of the year at all. And they scored 45. Yep. So that the takeaway is just Hooker and Tillman have a chance to be one, like an all-time passer catcher combo in Tennessee history. Man, I know that may sound like prisoner of the moment stuff, but I mean, he's already Tillman, the eighth guy ever to have 1,000 in a season, first guy in a decade. And I think next year could be like a 1,500-yard kind of year for him there, because they're going to feature him at the start. Remember, at the beginning of this year, I think they – and Alex Golish said it last week, like we didn't give him the ball enough. And I don't think they thought he was going to be this guy. And eventually it's like, gosh, we got to get him the ball more. Next year it's going to be Tillman's show. And look, when you have a great college quarterback, and I think it's fair to – say that about Hendon Hooker in this offense when he has a 182 rating and the ridiculous numbers he put forth, and then a receiver like that. Both guys are NFL players, but they're enhanced by this offense. I mean, my biggest takeaway is usually when guys are that good, a bowl game like this is a farewell for at least one of them, and it's not a farewell for either of them. And that is why Tennessee fans should be excited first and foremost.
I will say, after Tillman's second catch yesterday, which I think at the time had it for two catches for 102 yards and two touchdowns in the game, I did think to myself, huh, wonder if he changes his mind in like the third quarter of this game and says, you know what, guys, right. I am going to the NFL.
I mean, you can't tell me there aren't some agents saying, hey, man, you sure about this? So, I mean, and it's not like it's never happened before, so. Actually, maybe that'll tamp down some of the unbridled enthusiasm about Tennessee's pending national championship season. Like, wait and see if he actually sticks with the decision.
Well, I guess that's why they stopped throwing in the ball. Heupel just said they just radioed in Hooker's ear. And I was like, hey, man, you know, it's a Music City Bowl. I want to win, but I'd also
welcome
like
back in final year, segment so of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, yeah. ESPN 102.5.
You know, he had
the game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, Real People, Real Solutions. Right here, you know, remember, like, FDIC like, equal housing.
There's no way he's
Linder,
back
Robbie
to play
Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvick here with you. Not only the last
also,
segment of the day,
I mean, the last segment of the year, Joe Rex Road, team
been a crazy ride here in 2021.
It was, I think, it was a
yes, it has,
and
on. You know,
hey, you set the school record with 102 tackles for loss.
Because I hate New Year's Eve. I want to say before I forget,
you overachieve.
Please, everyone,
but you still
love to go out on New Year's Eve. That's fine.
Please be careful.
Good.
Do not drink and drive.
And now you're losing.
Never a reason to drink and drive.
Please
and
be careful.
And that's a big job for Tim Banks.
Day,
in 1 year, two
can be a deadly day.
Replacements, adequate replacements.
Also,
try to get that defense.
Beyond that, I
what they did this
New Year's Eve.
It's not going to be easy at all.
Theo Jackson's up to expectations.
And
it's a big loss, and
so there you go.
You know, as we saw
however,
yesterday, I mean, Alonte Taylor,
I'm,
big loss as well.
I'm kind of excited, though.
Now, I will say some of the pass interference calls
college football
I did not agree with. I thought they
it
were
does
a little flag
save the
happy
day,
with
right?
pass interference.
I'm excited about these games today.
But
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be watching
by and
both
large, Tennessee's defensive backs did not
about
play
that.
The ball
taking your thoughts
well
on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them were
no-brainers
from Nashville, where you're just face guarding and grabbing the guy.
Best sports moment
in
2021,
the
Mickelson
there was one
winning
in particular
the PGA to becoming the oldest to have ever won a major at age 50.
That might have been OPI.
Getting it done in the PGA.
But it sure as heck was not.
DPI.
Yeah, definitely worth the mention.
This is also
a good call. A lot of great.
It's not
moments.
As bad as
Candace
the charge
Parker
thing in
winning
basketball
in Chicago.
In college, where
I gotta
like
add that
every
in there.
Flop gets
that's
rewarded,
a good one too.
But
well, I think we
so,
would be remiss
how often do you ever see
if we
OPI
did not at least
college
mention
football?
what I talk about all the time for Titans fans and I take for granted.
Today's college
like watching Derrick Henry play football.
Thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737.
Unfortunately, got interrupted due to injury. 615-737.
Watching that guy.
What has been your favorite sporting moment in 2021?
Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737
and Barry Sanders.
We'll get a little bit more into that.
Watching him be able to
back. Make sure you don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live on 102.5 The Game.
Pretty fun.
Live from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville coming up this Sunday.
NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman,
Mark Howard,
back to doing it very again.
Wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m.
Don't take it for granted.
Live at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House located at 1003 Russell Street in East Nashville.
Which I think is absolutely true.
The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving. Parma Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing,
Derrick Henry is social.
We're probably, in there. I think, getting pretty close to the point where Derrick Henry's in there.
Yeah. So, yes, and hopefully.
We're back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube.
Good
video
call by Tyler from Berry Hill. Offices of Amanda Gentry.
We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line.
Just great to have March Madness back, by the way, because, of course, we lost it in 2020. That was a heck of a game. I mean, Oral Roberts in general.
Rex Road's favorite day of the year.
You know, what a story.
New Year's Eve, and we are – closing time
we can get college basketball in there. Today, 2022 is upon us.
You better believe it, baby.
We'll get hot and heavy.
And this is where Michelle and I will gang up
in
on
the NFL.
Yeah,
that is true.
Except but when you talk about Tennessee basketball,
to look back and reflect on what's brought us or what 2021 got to go to the Final Four in our lives and in sports
yeah,
as well.
I know. It's
and we're going to take your submissions on our text line, driven by Wilson County.
By the way, well, we'll see. It's a cold shot. By the way, Chris Copeland on the text line said, both games, what about my Deeks in the Gator Bowl?
Would you like to start us off here? Is there anything that stands out to you?
There you go, Wake Forest. Let's get after it a little bit of 2021.
Your thoughts, final thoughts on the Titans and the Dolphins.
I looked up. When I thought of this, I was like, we should reflect on our favorite moments of the year. It's been crazier. The Olympics, you know, we've had every sport post-COVID.
Your keys to victory as they take on a team that's been hot. The hottest team in the NFL as of late.
March Madness.
How did the Titans get this job done? How did they come out of there with their 11th win of the season?
Final four game. Against UCLA,
he
makes the shot, and there's only a couple seconds left on the clock, and then Jalen Snuggs has like the half court shot to win the game, go to the national championship. And I don't know if you guys remember, but he like runs up onto the scorer's table and just like flexes, and I just like that was like one of the moments that just stuck in my head out of 2021. That one, and then another one I had was an incredible, incredible moment, incredible game too.
Yes, that falls in the category of.
Remember when Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, and then Tampa instead of the parade, they did the boat parade thing.
It was also.
Oh, we remember.
Oh, yes.
And Tom Brady takes the Lombardi Trophy and just throws it across.
It just takes a game.
I had that moment. And then lastly,
outside the box, it makes
although
it
they lost the Super Bowl, fourth quarter,
this field is going to be
31-9
mess
Bucks,
Sunday, although
Chiefs,
I would
Mahomes
tend to think
throws
that would favor
the most
Titans.
Incredible
I think it also
pass ever,
just
where
opens
he was just
up the
completely
unexpected.
Horizontal to the ground.
The Titans should win this game.
Could you just imagine
now,
if that was caught?
If you tell me A.J.
Because
Brown's
that
calf
was an
is more than
pass.
Just a little thing,
so those are three moments
it's
that
him or keep
stuck
him out
in my
then
head, guys.
I think you
very nice.
Re-
we definitely
think
remember
this game.
Brady.
Because
I think
we
he was,
just
what,
saw
maybe
last
one or two
week what he needs to the offense
deep
and what
at that
it
point,
means
Rex
when he's, it reminded us of what it means when he's not there. We know what this past year has been without him. But if he can play
a lightweight, though.
I think the Titans should win.
There's no question about that.
You know, without having
to
totally sweat late in
his ability to.
Every time I think of the Titans, the Dolphins, I get a flashback to the game that took like 9 hours to
go on a boat.
Was that Vrabel's first game?
Yeah,
Rex
showed
your
sure
favorite
was.
Sporting events and
you
moments
had,
from 2021.
Delaney Walker,
okay,
broken
I have a long
ankle,
list, as you might imagine.
Honorable mention,
I'm
one
taking
those.
Horrible, dirty
one.
Hit,
I think that's a great
knocked
call,
out
concussion
on that
Marcus
game.
Marcus Mariota
go,
getting a neck injury.
Arizona
that
beating UConn
entire
in the
year.
Women's
series. Oh, yes.
Having a long touchdown run.
Harry McDonald,
on
incredible performance.
Still
a revelation in the tournament.
We were sitting in that press box that day,
and
there was no rain.
Coach now, but that was. Fantastic!
Just, it was just hours. Like
shutting
the thunderstorms
were near us.
You know,
I guess
we need all for the Bucks. The way they came back.
By the way,
Phoenix,
some breaking news on
tremendous.
The NFL front. That,
name, image, likeness
could have some big impacts on your fantasy
so
football playoffs
needed.
This weekend.
Fans
well.
Being back in the stands.
Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins
the
is on the COVID-19 list and will not be playing
enjoy
against
watching.
Green Bay coming
the Titans
up on Sunday night football. So the The call shot I had earlier about the Packers winning by 20 plus, feeling pretty okay going.
And there goes my pigskin pick on pick.
She becomes the most decorated U.S. track athlete of all time.
You're
only going to end up being like 19 ahead of us.
Regardless of country. No, I feel like I'm going to go under 500, to be honest.
Mother.
It's just unacceptable.
In
by the way, Kirk Cousins, for those who don't know, he's on the backs with the 400.
Rules him out.
On the 400. She can test out of that.
Incredible stuff.
But my number one moment was actually
we'll see what
not
happens. I think,
box.
I mean, that's not going to change the way I think that particular game was going to end. All that,
it
changes that game a lot. But
a child's
the fantasy football playoff implications could be big. If you've got Kirk Cousins
game
as your starter heading into your finals this weekend,
that's
maybe something to keep in mind. Speaking of Robbie and Rex,
our
fantasy football championship this weekend, LeGoat versus myself.
That's
what happens. Very nice.
Good luck, LeGoat, but I gotta go with
Michigan,
Robbie.
Michigan State,
I agree. Good luck, LeGoat.
And the crowd in that
our
game
Stanley
that we've
way
seen the video. Very awesome stuff. See what would happen. Sure. Hope everyone has
a
very
happy
come to
and
mind
safe
new
year.
Number one,
Michelle, Joe, happy new year.
One that
to
sticks
both
out to me
well
that is more of a moment than it was just
we
the
will
game
talk
itself
to you all in 2022. We'll be back on Monday morning
breaking down the Titans and the Dolphins. That does it for us today.
Environment around the game. Like the game
have Darren Donica, Chase coming up next. Hope everybody has a safe and fun day. Enjoy the college football playoffs.
Think that
Carolina
ESPN 102.5 the game.
A lot of their guys. Predators rested some guys in that game as well. But Pekka getting the shutout in the last game that he played at Bridgestone Arena was awesome. We kind of had a feeling at the time that maybe he was going to retire. And, you know, I kind of felt stronger about that after watching him react the way that he did and skate around, take his victory lap, solo lap at Bridgestone Arena. So that was awesome. Obviously, you're talking about, if not the greatest athlete in the history of this city professionally, he's in the top three. I don't think there's any question about that when it comes to Pecorino. So that last moment at Bridgestone Arena with him was pretty awesome.
That's a great call. Yeah, that was like these sort of transitions, you know, for like a big position, a goalie to goalie or quarterback, whatever. Like they usually don't go by like a Hollywood script, you know, it's usually just not how you would intend it. It's probably gone as well as you could possibly hope between from going from Rene to Soros. And a lot of that has to do with who Pecorino is as a person and Soros. But I mean, for him to get that moment and the lap and everything, that's that'll always be, I think, one of the most memorable moments in that arena's history.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Obviously, the Aaron Rodgers drama this summer was very memorable for me, seeing whether or not he was going to show back up and be quarterback of the Packers. We'll have version two of that coming up after this season, so looking forward to that one and seeing what happens on that front. But there are a lot of really good games this year. Honestly, like the game yesterday is going to be pretty memorable, the Purdue-Tennessee game. I'm going to remember being at that one for a long time. I have never been in person to a football game quite like the one we saw yesterday at the Music City Bowl.
And honestly, like even for the casual football fan who felt like the way you expressed the other day, like these games have been crap. Yesterday was kind of a nice day. You kind of saved it a little bit. And especially that game, you know, Tennessee, I was trying to think of this, like they haven't really, they had one other, no, that's not true. They had a couple of great games. Obviously, I forgot about how could I forget about the win at Kentucky? I'm so sorry. I should have mentioned this earlier.
Joe.
But the Ole Miss game, of course, will always be a memorable moment, too, for a variety of reasons. But yes, I totally forgot about the win at Lexington, probably because it's just what they do all the time.
Okay. I don't know when you became a Tennessee fan, Joe, but I also have another.
Joe.
My first day on the job here was Pecorino's, when he announced his retirement, and that was my first day working at the station. And I remember getting here at like 5 o'clock in the morning, being so overwhelmed. And Ryan Porth was like, Michelle, this is going to be a really crazy day. So I need you to just watch it all. And now here we are, guys, 6 months later, what a crew we are. So that was pretty memorable for me.
That's a heck of a first day.
I was about to say, it is a heck of a first day, like a city legend coming in and retiring on your first day on the new job. That's pretty incredible stuff there.
It's been a great run, despite your hatred for Tennessee.
That is true.
I just
ball Joe coming in here strong.
Yeah, Joe, where is this coming from? Now you're the homer, Joe. You're a homer. There you go.
Ball Joe. Randy Joe has become Ball Joe.
All the Purdue fans are right. Weather up.
But we'll get to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Your favorite sporting moments of 2021. We'll get to more of those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezvic here with you. Not only the last segment of the day, the last segment of the year, Joe Rex Road. It's been a crazy ride here in 2021.
Yes, it has. And, you know, I normally hate this day because I hate New Year's Eve. I want to say before I forget, please, everyone, I know people love to go out on New Year's Eve. That's fine. Please be careful. Do not drink and drive. There's never a reason to drink and drive. Please be careful because obviously this day can be a deadly day.
Yes.
Also, and just beyond that, I just hate New Year's Eve. I think it never lives up to expectations and I hate my birthday. So there you go. However, I'm kind of excited, though, even though I think it's dumb that we have college football playoff games on New Year's Eve. It does kind of save the day, right? I mean, I'm excited about these games today.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be watching both of them. I don't think there's any question about that. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville texting in says, best sports moment in 2021, Mickelson winning the PGA to becoming the oldest to have ever won a major at age 50. Lefty getting it done in the PGA Championship. It's pretty impressive.
Definitely worth a mention. Good call. A lot of great moments.
Candace Parker winning in Chicago. I got to add that in there.
That's a good one too.
Well, I think we would be remiss if we did not at least mention what I talk about all the time for Titans fans tonight, take for granted. Like watching Derrick Henry play football, it's not necessarily a moment or a game. It's just a continual process that unfortunately got interrupted due to injury this season. But watching that guy do what he does on a game-by-game basis, you know, we all know the numbers where you start being compared to Jim Brown and Barry Sanders and all these different guys. Like watching him be able to do what he did for so long before the injury was pretty fun on a weekly basis, something that I hope – everybody will remember for a long time, and hopefully he's back to doing it again very quickly here for the Titans.
Yeah, don't take it for granted. Yeah, you just mentioned Pecorine as one of the top three athletes, which I think is absolutely true. I assume you would have it Pekka, Eddie George, and McNair, or because Derrick Henry is
we're pushing probably, in there. I think. Getting pretty close to the point where Derrick Henry's in there.
Yeah. So, yes, and hopefully for him, 2022 is a healthy year and everyone can get back to enjoying that. Good call by Tyler from Berry Hill on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Oral Roberts beating Ohio State. I mean, there's always great games in March, right? It was just great to have March Madness back, by the way, because, of course, we lost it in 2020. That was a heck of a game. I mean, Oral Roberts in general, like, what?
Yeah.
You know, what a story.
Just anytime we can get college basketball in there, Joe Rexroad's here for it.
So am I.
You better believe it, baby. And this is where Michelle and I will gang up on you.
Yeah.
That is true.
Except when you talk about Tennessee basketball.
Rexroad's got him going to the Final Four. I never said that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
By the way, well, we'll see. We'll see. That's a called shot. By the way, Chris Copeland on the text line says, both games, what? What about my Deeks in the Gator Bowl? Go Deeks. Hashtag go Deeks.
There you go, Wake Forest. Let's get after it a little bit. Your thoughts, final thoughts on the Titans and the Dolphins. I think we all picked the Titans yesterday in Pigskin. Pick them. Your thoughts on the Titans as they head into this matchup against Miami. Your keys to victory as they take on a team that's been hot. And the hottest team in the NFL as of late. How do the Titans get this job done? How do they come out of there with their 11th win of the season coming up on Sunday against Miami?
Thanks for bringing up Pigskin Pick'em, where my lock has already been shot all down. The Vols lock. You know, look, I think the Dolphins are a pretty good team. You can't just dismiss seven wins in a row. It's an incredible run of schedule ease. Like, I've never seen anything like it. The Titans are a better team. The Titans should win. Now, remember the Texans lost. Yes, that falls in the category of Titans not rising, you know, not handling a team they should handle. This has been a thing. But it was also a weird day because it was rainy and sloshy, and sometimes that just makes a game just takes a game outside the box and makes it hard to predict. And if this field is going to be a total mess Sunday, although I would tend to think that would favor the Titans, I think it also just opens up the unexpected. The Titans should win this game. Now, if you tell me A.J. Brown's calf is more than just a little thing and it's going to limit him or keep him out, then I think you rethink this game, because we just saw last week what he means to the offense and what it means when he's – and it reminded us of what it means when he's not there. We know what this passing game has been without him. But if he can play, I think the Titans should win this game, you know, without having to totally sweat late in the fourth quarter.
Every time I think of the Titans or the Dolphins, I get a flashback to the game that took like 9 hours to complete. And like, was that Vrabel's first game?
Yeah, sure was. You had Delanie Walker's broken ankle season ending. You had Terrell Lewan taking a horrible dirty hit, getting knocked out, concussion. Marcus Mariota getting the neck injury that ended up affecting his entire year. Derrick Henry having a long touchdown run called back on a phantom holding call. They still only lost 27-20. We were sitting in that press box that day, and there was no rain.
Yeah.
And they just – it was just hours, like, because thunderstorms were near us, I guess. I don't know.
By the way, some breaking news on the NFL front that could have some big impacts on your fantasy football playoffs this weekend as well. Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins is on the COVID-19 list and will not be playing against Green Bay coming up on Sunday Night Football. So the call shot I had earlier about the Packers winning by 20-plus, feeling pretty okay about that.
And right there now goes my pigskin pick'em pick.
Well, that wasn't happening anyway. But
you're only going to end up being like 19 ahead of us now,
Michelle. No, yeah. I feel like I'm going to go under 500, to be honest. It's just unacceptable.
By the way, Kirk Cousins, for those who don't know, he's unvaxxed, which rules him out. Like, if he were vaxxed, he could test out of that still. Right. But unvaxxed, he's out.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's not going to change the way I think that particular game was going to end
it changes it.
It changes that game a lot, but the fantasy football playoff implications could be big. If you've got Kirk Cousins as your starter heading into your finals this weekend, maybe something to keep in mind. Speaking of Robbie and Rex Road fantasy football championship this weekend, LeGoat versus myself. We'll see what happens.
Good luck, LeGoat, but I gotta go with Robbie.
I agree. Good luck, LeGoat, but our Stanley all the way.
We'll see what happens. Hope everyone has a very happy and safe new year. Michelle, Joe, happy new year to both of you as well.
Happy new year.
Happy Absolutely. New year.
We will talk to you all in 2022. We'll be back on Monday morning breaking down the Titans and the Dolphins. That does it for us today. We're going to have Darren Donica Chase coming up next. Hope everybody has a safe and fun day. Enjoy the college football playoff. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.